The Disappointing Friend podcast is produced on the lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Eastern Kulin Nations. We pay respect to elders past and present. We're grateful to share in the act of oral storytelling and community care that has existed within these cultures on these lands for thousands of years. Always was, always will be Aboriginal land. Welcome to the Disappointing Friend podcast. I'm your host, Juliette Miranda Rowe. I'm a recovering disappointing friend. I'm here in the studio with my co-host,
Fatima Denzarko, the other Disappointing Friend podcast.
What is it?
But, you know, it's so weird because, like, we've been doing this for, like, a year inconsistently. Mm-hmm. And, like, I was a disappointing friend. I still am. Like, I really am. Like, there's two people right now that's what I'm supposed to be having dinner with tonight. I'm going to have to break it to them that it's not happening. So, I continue to disappoint. But also, I am also in recovery. And today we actually have a special guest on, which is, like, really, really exciting. Because I think that, like, when we talk about like friendships, and this is all based on me and Juliette. We're not therapists. You know, we've lived life. I'm 40. I've got, you know, years of friendship advice in my you know, Rolodex. But often I, even in this year, are like, what does that really mean? And so today we have a guest, my Aunt Georgina.
Yeah. Yay!
Hello. And we have her on for that, for like literally asking someone who has lived in this year in the world for a lot longer than us, who has been able to maintain some really, really, really amazing relationships. And I want to introduce her in this really, really nice way, is that my auntie Georgina is my mum's best friend, was my mum's best friend. And it's interesting because when I think about my life and how I want to be in the world, I want to show up like my Auntie Georgina. Yeah. Oh. And I have this as a really great example because even though my mum is not here with me, my auntie has now become has taken the friendship to a greater level because it's not just in life. She's also doing it now in death. She has continued this legacy after 20 years, almost 20 years of my mum being not around, and she's continuing this friendship in my sisters and my brothers and supporting our families and supporting my son. And I think when you think about friendships, I think this is what it means to have a deep, long friendship. It's not just,
nice.
No, it's true. Anyway, we're introducing Auntie Georgina. Yay!
Oh, it's nice to be here. Oh, thank you. That was so nice. I almost cried.
Oh, I'm tired. I'm sick. Jet lag.
All of the above.
And then I'm coming into this episode going, oh my God,
now
what
you'll
is
be
it?
All right.
No, but it is. It's really, really meaningful because, like, and I think that maybe in our generation as well, we tend to be a little bit more selfish. We tend to not, like, we're like, oh my God, this person did this and this person did that and this person did this. And when I think about the friendship that I saw with you and my mum, it was deep. It wasn't always easy.
No, it was not always easy, but it was deep. It was deep.
It was. Yeah. And it was like, you know, before I got here, I was on a phone call with a friend, a really dear friend of mine, and she was saying that, like, she had to take a step back from a friend because she was giving her too much advice that was unsolicited. And I was thinking about it in this way because I was coming to this episode thinking about how much that was part of you and my mum's relationship. I don't want to go too, like, I didn't want it to go too personal, but, like, actually, like, each of them being very honest with each other saying stuff that actually...
Saying it happens.
But with the best of intentions.
Intentions, absolutely.
Yeah. So, I know, I'm going to introduce her and let her speak a bit, and we're going to, this episode's called Ask the Aunties, really asking some questions from a real OG that has been able to maintain... friendships, good, bad, and we want to ask her about that because I think that that's where it really, this podcast really comes full circle. You know, definitely. It's not just me and Juliette yaffering on.
No, I think definitely because I think particularly at the stage of life that we're in, I like say that I'm in middle age and people laugh at me, but like in your mid-30s and 40s, it's like you're in a middle part of life. And I think that what's happened now, I've seen in my 30s, is this thing of like, oh, I'm in this new stage now, and it's if you're having trouble with people who you've had from a younger stage of life, it can feel like, well, I'll leave them behind in this younger stage. And that's been really shocking to me, because I'm like, that feels really transactional and discarding. And it does interest me, because I'm like, well, as we get older, some people don't make it into these next parts of life.
Yeah,
and you kind of have to work through some stuff with people, because you don't know who's going to be around
you
later. Yeah. I think it is important to speak to our elders and older people about how they maintain those things, because I was saying before, my dad recently had like pretty serious health scares. And in the lead up, he had this real shift. He was like referred to someone as like, well, our friend, blah, blah. And my sister and I paused, because we were like, your friend, this person that our entire lives you've actually been bitching about and who hasn't been in the house for 10 years. And he was like, she was over here just the other day sitting right where you are. And it was so shocking to us, because we were like, this is like someone who our entire childhoods you've been like our ex-friend so-and-so. Yeah. And like, but now because you're all elderly and feeling like a bit soft, it's like all of a sudden like they can't even remember what happened in the past, and now she's over for having a tea on a Sunday. And we were just so shocked by that, like, kind of whiplash of shift. That but makes sense, obviously, and it does change like how I think. It doesn't change, but I guess it's softened the edges of how I view some of my current conflicts with people. Yeah. Just to contextualise where I'm at.
Yeah.
And why I'm excited to have you here.
Well, Andrzejna, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Talking about friendships. Okay. Like when I came to Australia, migrated, I didn't know anybody else, but the first person that I got to know was Stella. And it is so funny because we came from two different worlds, two different, absolutely opposite upbringing and everything, but we just clicked and we started talking and we found out that we had so much in common. And just being there for each other, very supportive. And I remember her English was quite not the best, but I kept on talking to her, and she became very fluent in English, because she always used to mix up the Portuguese and English, and I used to sort of guide her into the right direction, and we just became so close. People thought we were like biological sisters, but we were just friends. But that's how we looked at it, and we went through everything from new migrants to getting used to our new home and everything else, and just being supportive, really. And it's a matter of you just pick up the phone and you know that the other end, she'll be there, and she will be there to support me or to guide me, or even just, you know, just hearing that voice just makes you feel more calm, even when you're sort of a bit upset. So friendships are important. And although we didn't see each other every day, but we made a point that at least over the weekend we would spend some time together in our families together, and we just talk and talk and talk and talk, and we never sort of would talk until maybe 3 a.m. about nothing and everything.
And it's really interesting, because I didn't know that my Georgina wasn't actually related to me until I was much older. Because when I was little, they were like, it did seem like you were sisters, you know, like I was like, oh yeah, that's my auntie Georgina. Yeah. And in African culture, you have like everyone that's older than you becomes your auntie. And so you had a lot, but I felt like, I was like, oh my God, my mom's got like a million sisters and brothers. Well, like how many, like I could feel that the relationship that you had with her was overall so special. And it was
special.
So aspirational I would watch it and be like, wow. Even when like they would have a tiff, like my mum would be like, oh, Georgina did this, and like, you know, like I'm sure
oh yeah, but that happens in every friendship.
In every friendship.
But it's how you deal with your differences or your misunderstanding. And what I found with me and like with Stella is when she's not happy or not happy or upset about something that I said, she would approach it in a nice way, but not like telling you off, but you just say, you know what, whatever you said, I was not happy with blah, blah, blah. And being honest with each other is the best way. And to me, that is good, because then I know next time know how to approach or how to say things, or even if you're in a group, be supportive of your friend. If someone is saying something not so nice about your friend, be there to defend your friend. Yeah. And we did that very well. It was like, you know, don't go there and sort of just speak up and just squash all that crap that they want to say.
Yeah. Also, I think that what I also witnessed is like, you know, my mum wasn't perfect, so we're not going to try and
pretend. No one is perfect.
And it was really nice to also like watch her also, because in each side of a relationship, it's one and the other. Also be able to be like, oh, I was totally wrong. Georgina was right about that. And then that made her really empowered.
Auntie Gina,
I wanted to ask you a question. In our generation, when you watch other people around you and like younger, I know that you know, you obviously work in
mature.
A space. No, but you also work in a space where you can see like multi-generational people.
Yeah, absolutely.
You also have a daughter that has friends. So you're not just like out in the wilderness being this great wisdom owl. What do you see that is a generational shift that maybe like existed in your friendship group? Like,
I've had other friends as well, from long term as well, and these are also really long friendships, and they're also multi-generational
where like my auntie is also like support, like has helped, you know, be there for other families.
Other families and other people. So what do you feel
is the difference between this generation of what you're seeing to what you lived in the way women support women
or
friendships?
Yeah. I don't know. I just find this way, this generation, people are different. I don't know whether it's to do with the social media or not, but I find like people are becoming, they're a little bit more selfish. It's all about me. You please me. But about you doing other things for other people. Or if you do something to somebody, don't expect something back. It's like, you know, you guarantee that, oh, I did this to you the other day, so now it's your turn for you to do. But you just do things from your heart, from the love of doing it. You don't expect anything in return. You don't. And maintain the friendship, like, you know, make time for it. We all live in a busy life, but make time for friends, even if it's just once a month or whatever. But catch up, talk about things, and just keep that friendship going, because it's easy to get lost in everything else, but maintain that friendship. Yeah. Communication is absolutely important, whether it's once a month or once a fortnight. Make up that time just for you and your friends to catch up. Yeah.
Sorry, yeah. I felt really moved. No, because I think you're right. I do think that there's like a real transactional nature. I see it a lot, and I've said it myself when I've been feeling burnt out or resentful over friends, and I've been like, I did all of these things and it didn't feel reciprocal or something. And I remember actually when I had a therapist, she was really encouraging of that attitude for me. And I remember pausing and being like, no, I don't do things to get something in return. I do something from my heart. I was I don't need somebody to show up in the exact same way that I show up because I have skills that they don't have. I was like, what I'm missing is that I feel like it's either not being appreciated, or it feels at the moment that it's not reciprocal. But that doesn't mean that the entireness of a friendship hasn't been reciprocal. It's like someone might be just going through a particular phase where they don't have much to give. And I think it feels really easy when you're in a state where like you feel like you really need stuff from other people. And if they don't have much to give, it can feel like they're neglecting you, when in reality it's not a parent-child relationship.
No, it's not.
So it's like, it can feel like you're being neglected by someone, but actually it's like, no, you're both just adults who can't show up exactly right now how it needs to. And I don't think that that's necessarily, I just think there's a real culture at the moment of like cutting ties when there's like some level of, I think you said like, you're not being pleased.
Yes, I'm not being pleased with someone.
I know that some people have gotten like so angry over these kind of more minor stuff that it just is kind of a natural part of being an adult. And I think also you can kind of talk through it.
Have you had that? Like, have you ever had conflict with a friend? Because it feels like in our generation, people are cutting people off for reasons.
Like,
because when I look at your relationships with all of your friends, not all of them have done everything perfectly.
No, people have made decisions
that you probably not have agreed with.
Yeah, absolutely.
So then how have you been able to still maintain that friendship, even though psychologically you're like, you're a mess.
Because she's just a saint.
Yes, because I'm just a saint. No, but I think I just accept people for who they are, and I put the differences aside, and I don't dwell on that. I don't dwell on the conflict. I dwell on things that are positive. So even if there are 90% I don't agree with, that 10% which we agree on, I stick to that. And so I let that part grow and sort of push aside that part which I don't quite agree with, because otherwise it can be a bit crazy. Yeah,
that's interesting, because that's how I treat workplaces. I always try and like focus on, because my thing that I've been saying recently, and I can't remember where I stole it from, is that relationships are about relating to another person. So it's like in a workplace environment where you're really like, you know, you have to be there with people, it's like I'll focus on what I can relate to someone.
Yes.
And then usually that expands, obviously. It's like the more you get to know someone, you realize the more things you have in common. I think maybe with friends, it's like maybe we're just spending less time together, perhaps. Like, is that...
But it doesn't matter whether it's less time, but to me it's the quality.
Yeah, okay.
Because I can spend half an hour with you, but if we're going to talk sense or we're going to talk something that is building, it's better than being on the phone or spending 2 hours with someone who's going to be talking rubbish. You know, it's like, come on, you know. So it's not really the time, it's the quality time that you spend with friends.
Yeah.
It's the quality of that time.
As you're talking about it, my auntie Georgina is like a busy woman. Like, when I was growing up, you worked at... She went back to university. She was
full-time working.
But that's she was a mum. She was like doing it all. Like she was like, when people in our community looked at like a woman to want to be in terms of just like
just
getting it done.
Just trying to do as much.
Yeah, Aunt Georgina was like, one of the like the women that people would look up to. Like, oh my God, I want to be like an Aunt Georgina.
Still
though, in her busy time trying to get all this stuff, she still had time to maintain
friendships.
And it's interesting you're saying that, because I'm always like, I'm so busy.
No.
You are way more busy than
But it does sound like that's a mindset thing though as well though, because if you're thinking about like, I'm going to focus on the 10%, that's positive, you're probably using that in every approach to life, where it's like, all right, let's focus on like solutions oriented rather than like fixating on the problem or the conflict or the.
Have you ever had to cut any of your friends off? Have there been friendships that you're like, nah, no more for me?
I can't say no more, but I just let go, because if it's not getting me anyway, or it's more draining in my brain and my everything, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. But if I see that there's something in there that I can, there's a little bit of fire there, I let it grow. But if it's draining and it's more damaging to my health, to my well-being, it's not worth it. So I just let it go.
And have you ever regretted any of the ones that you've let go?
No, because I'm happier without that. I'm happier. I'd rather have 2 or 3 good friends than have 20 who are absolutely a pain in the butt. You know what? It's not the number. It's not the number. It's not the popularity thing. So, I'm popular. I've got 50 friends. No, but out of those 50 friends, who are really friends? Who are your really good friends? Who you can tend to? Who are supportive of you through thick and thin? Who are there when you're down? Who are there when you're up? Who gonna cheer you up when you're doing something else? Who gonna be there to cry on your shoulder? You know, those are the real friends. So even though you can have 50 friends, but out of those 50, when you're in need or something, only 2 or 3 turn up, then you don't have 50 friends.
Yeah.
Then you've got 3 friends.
That is true.
Of course, it's when you are down, that's when you sort of see who is your real friend. Because there are friends who just want to make the numbers or just to show that I'm here. But when the gritty bit happens, they are nowhere to be seen. And you go, oh, I haven't heard from so-and-so, but they know I'm sick, or they know this has happened, but I haven't heard from so-and-so. And that's when you sort of think, but the person who picks up the phone or the person who checks up on you, that is a friend.
Yeah.
So it's not a matter of number of friends. It's a matter of how many of those are really good friends who you can get up, even at 2 a.m, you know that if I ring so-and-so, she'll pick up the phone if she knows I'm the one calling. That's a true friend.
Were there friends that you made at like older ages in your life that surprised you? Like, did you ever get to a stage where you were like, I'm too old to make new friends? I feel like that happens a bit now.
I know, but I find as you mature, the friendships change, like the friendships, they evolve. And there are some that I've made friends now who I wouldn't even think before that I'd be friends, but it's because we gelled on one or two things, and upon those things, then we realized, and you sit down and say, I never thought I'd be friends with so-and-so, but I'm friends with so-and-so, because there's just something in there that clicks with you. Yes. So as you mature, the friendships, they change and then they evolve. There are some you maintain them, and then you have new friendships, but they're all different friends. Like, I've got friends for different things. You can't have a friend for everything. I've got different types of friends, for example. I've got coffee friends. I've got this type. So you've got friends, but you know who to turn to for whatever situation it is, because there are some I wouldn't open up about certain things because I know the whole... Everybody know about it. So
yeah.
I know who to open up to and how much to open up to.
Yeah.
So I've got different types of friends.
Really interesting that you say that, because I think that maybe I actually need to remind myself about that. Because I think sometimes we put too much emphasis on one friendship. Oh my God, why isn't blah blah there for this? She wasn't doing this. It's like she didn't have the capabilities to do that in the first place. Yeah. How am I now expecting her? Yeah.
Doesn't make sense.
And I think that you reminding me that, like, not everyone can be everything
to you.
That's why you don't need to have one friend. You can have lots of people that can
for all different things.
It's good when those people know what they're good at in friendships as well, like, because I'll definitely have some friends, they know that we'll have a coffee and we'll go for a walk around the park and we'll go about our business, because I think about it a lot with traveling. When I was younger and I would, like, go away with friends, their idea of relaxing might be, like, we're going to go to a club or something. Yeah, and it was this thing where we're on different levels. And I think about it a lot because it's not necessarily, like, one way is better. It's just more like, oh, we are here for completely different reasons. And it creates a dissonance. Whereas there are friends I have now where I'm like, I know that we would have a really nice weekend together. Do the things we want to do together, and then we'd be really good about having the solo time together.
Yeah, but you allow that. You don't have to be like 24/7 together. You allow yourself a free time, because I have traveled with friends whereby we were like together 24/7, and that's, you actually get to know a person is when you spend 24/7 with them, because you go, oh, I didn't know this part of about you. Oh,
yeah.
But then it's good to sort of allow that, to go, oh, free time, like if you're on holiday, let's say 2 weeks, allow the 2 days just to yourself, or three. So have a plan to say, oh, we'll do this and this together, and allow yourself time to do things that you want to do for yourself. Because you don't want to be dragged into things that you don't want to do just because you're traveling with a friend, but you need to do things that you also want to do. So it's good to allow yourself that flexibility to say, oh, what if, or or go, oh, what if we just meet for dinner? So you spend all day doing whatever you want, and then you meet up for dinner instead of just dragging along because you're with a friend.
Traveling with a friend really, like, really highlights the magnitude.
Yes.
Overly. Like, I remember traveling with friends in my 20s, and it was a hot mess. We had different expectations. We had different budgets. We had different just the way things were going to happen.
But you also just get sick of, you just, it's a lot of, but I really like the, like, we'll meet up in the evening, because then it's also like you get to tell each other stories about the things
about
you saw.
Day.
Yes. Whereas otherwise it's like, well, I know what you did today.
Yes, I know.
it's like being on a school camp.
I know we talked about the generational gap. I know we talked about it a little bit, but I think that I wanted to dive in a little bit more, you know? Like, I think that one of the biggest things that I think our listeners are wondering, that what they would love to hear from you is, what is, like, one of the things that you see mistakes that you see our generation doing in friendships? Is it like, you know, people walking away from their friends too easily?
I think it's walking away or not giving friendship time. Giving the friendship time. You need to give it time to mature and also give it time. Even if there is let's say a misunderstanding, sit back and work the root of why are we not getting along. And then you might find that it maybe it's just something small or something that is no big deal. But if you look at what it is and talk about it in an open way, not accusing anybody, but just talking it in an open way, and then you find that there's not really nothing to worry about. Then, you know, that's what it is, I think, just digging into things a bit more and not, because something small happens, then you cut off, then you go, oh, that's it, I'm not talking so and so anymore. But no, look back, and maybe it's you, maybe it's not that other person. Look back to the root of what really happened at that time, and then start from there and work around it, really, because anything can be resolved. You don't have to be best friends, but at least you know your differences, and then you work around it. Yeah.
I, at the start of this season, was really upset with a friend. The relationship had gone. Yeah. And I've had like a year to think about it. I've actually had quite a big year. Lots of things have happened. I turned 40. My business is going quite well, but it was also in like review. I started another business. I've started the podcast. Yes, yes. I've been traveling. Like a lot has happened. Mm. I've been unwell. There's just been a lot this year that's happened. One of the friendships that ended, for me, like some of the stuff that the person had said was quite trivial. I don't want to put them on blast. What they were asking from me, and I was like, no, that's crazy, whatever, right? Yeah. I thought about it in the 9 months and I was like, oh my God, we've had a falling out over essentially these items.
Yes.
And I recently just gave them to her. This is yours. If this is what you want. If we've fallen out for all of
because
these times,
of this, was, yeah,
which
this
now
is
in reflection is crazy we've had a falling out over such a small thing. Yeah. And when you say that, it's true. It's like sitting back and working out what is the root of it? I'm not really allowing that person to be who they are. It's true. Yeah, I'm not. I'm wanting that person to be something else. They can never be that. Also, they wanted this thing that I didn't want to give them. Done. Like now I'm like reassessing going, did we just have a falling out over photos?
Yeah. As someone who does try to get to the root, I've had many of friends who have been like you, who have, I think, taken my, not I think, I know, who have taken me trying to like raise an issue. And I'm not saying I've done it in the best ways. I didn't communicate in fantastic ways, but it was interesting how, like, when I look back on things that I said, I'm like, if somebody said this to me, I would just not react the way that friendships of mine reacted. Mm. When people come to me with problem, I'll listen to what the problem is, but then it's like, what is the root of this problem? As if like you're not being prioritized, or you feel like where there's a disconnection, or you feel I'm belittling you, or like, for me, it's weird because I worked in a call center for a really long time and literally I couldn't have fights with people on the phone, but I could really easily trigger people. So people were quite aggressive to me and then I would not have be reactive to whatever they're coming at me with, but also try and be like, I understand you know, it sounds like you're saying, you know, I understand you feel this. I was really good at my job. Like I was very good at de-escalation and I was very good at getting people who had previously rejected everyone else to sit down with me sometimes for like an hour. Oh, wow. I had people who had not spoken to anyone else about specific things in their lives because we were doing like government surveys. So it's like I was very good at like building rapport, making people feel safe. I was doing that in a lot of my friendships. But I think that what I was bad at was actually then going, hey, this is how I felt. Because I was sitting there for 12 hours a day having to listen to other people tell me all the things that they felt. But I wasn't at the end of it being like, by the way, when you yelled at me at the start of the call, that felt terrible. Don't do that to anyone else. I wasn't doing that. And then I wasn't. Yeah. Then in my own friendships, I was letting people behave however they wanted to behave. But I wasn't sitting there going, hey, when you yell at me like that, it's, you know, it makes it hard for me to think. I was just going, I can see that you're really angry about this. Yeah. What can we do to like move on things. And then that built resentment in me, essentially. But I do think that there's just been like so much tension over the past few years for like everyone. It's been a really hectic entrance into the 2020s. Yeah. And now we're midway through. And I think a lot of us were just on edge. So anytime anyone brought up grievances with us, it felt like this personal attack. And that's why people are like cutting off at the pettiest thing. Cause it's like, you know, you felt it. Yeah. It felt tense. Everything's felt really life or death.
Andy, what's the biggest thing that you think that out of all the friendships that you have is the thing that you want more from? Or what is something that you'd like to change?
I think more understanding and getting to know someone a bit more deeper, because some friendships are shallow. Like it's not, some friendships, they don't seem real. It's like there's something there, but they don't want to go there, sort of thing. So it sort of leaves you wondering. While with your mom, it was such an open friendship where we talked deeper things, which maybe I've not even talked to anyone since then, because that's how deep it was, because there was that trust and there was that, you know, that if I say this, it's going to end, it's just you and me, it's not going to end up anywhere else. So there's part of me which I don't open to other friends because I don't, there's that trust thing which I'm thinking, do I really trust this person to open up that little part of me too, or should I just leave it close to my heart? So it's sort of, it's just, I don't know, I just find it's different things, it's different friendship altogether. Because I've tested, and that's how I've tested, like go a little bit deeper, then the reaction that you get or the support that you get is not what you were expecting. So it's like, okay. So then you close off again. You go, no, I won't go there.
See, I haven't thought about it like that. And maybe that's an interesting kind of way to approach it, that everyone that comes into your life, you're not just like imploding everything. You're actually working out the relationships.
You're working up, relationships.
Of what you're giving to each of them.
To each of them, And then you know when to stop and when to pause.
That does feel like a generational thing, because a friend and I were both saying how we're trying to share less with people. And I do think it's also because like our generation have generally gotten a bit more comfortable with talking about taboo subjects and talking about our feelings. And so it can become really easy to just like, oh, I've met someone at this dinner party and I'm going to tell them like
your whole life story.
And I know for me, it's been interesting around having health problems within my family. It was also realizing how many people I had a certain depth of intimacy with, in that I was having to retell this story to lots of different people. And after a while, I was like really exhausted. And then like a very close friend of mine I think even you, when we were on the phone the other day, part of me was like, oh, I don't even really want to tell this story anymore, but I also want you to know the knowledge. And I had this moment where I was like, I can see why people make a reel or like make a TikTok about very traumatic things in their life. They're like, this is what's happened. You can watch the video. I don't want to talk about it anymore. So it's also working out why I'm sharing this information with people. And I think I'm at a point now where I used to tell someone a story thinking that if they know this story about something that's happened in my life, they're going to know the exact right way to treat me. Ex of mine, it became really obvious, because I was like, oh, I thought because I told him this story, he was going to know like what I needed what in all of needed. These circumstances. And that wasn't true at all, because he was just like, oh, I thought you were just like telling me this story. And like, I felt really emotionally connected to you, but like I didn't get the very specific needs. And I was like, why would he? Because I actually hadn't expressed them.
Using your weakness as a weapon. It's like, she's weak, she's not good. And then they use that as a weapon. Then you go,
This is true. I do get scared about that. I've definitely had a moment with friends where it's not even about me feeling I don't trust them. It's more like going, does this person need to know this story? Or do I just need to say like, you know, hey, I don't love it when people do this specific thing. They don't need to know the background.
I've had a similar, this year I was quite a little bit unwell. Like at the start, I did not tell anyone. And I think it's very generational, going up with the type of mum that I had, that like you don't really tell lots of people a lot of stuff. And it was interesting because I didn't think that there was anything wrong with that. Like I didn't until I was like, oh, I am having an operation. I should probably tell somebody. Yeah, I should tell. And it was interesting, like, because I've always, and I've grown up in a family, like, where you keep a lot of things to yourself, it didn't seem odd to me to not make a public announcement about it, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then some people found out, some people didn't. Like, some of my friends found out because I work with them. Some of the people, like, you guys found out because we had commitments. And then some people I found, like, the way it was kind of told. And then it was interesting, the people that were really offended, because I wasn't telling, there was no, people didn't know because of how close they were to me.
Yeah,
it was just like, this is quite a personal thing.
Yeah,
I actually don't really want to be telling lots of people.
You don't have to tell.
And a few of my friends were like, "What?
Yeah.
How did you not?
How did you not tell me?"
And it wasn't based on that. And it was based on exactly what my auntie was saying, which is more cultural. Yeah. Is that for me? There are things that I want people to know.
No. Yes. Yes.
But there's lots of things. Some people think that they know me well,
but
I give them the parts of me that I want to give them. And with this medical thing, it was just so personal to me. Yeah. And at the end, I kind of then felt like I had to tell, I felt like I had to broadcast it because
people
were feeling like either they weren't as close to me, like it was making them feel a certain way about our relationship that
didn't exist. It was just
a cultural thing where I was actually, this is really close to me. This is really just about me for my family.
And it gives you time to deal with it.
To process it.
To deal with just that, because it can be overwhelming.
Yeah.
And you don't want to be getting 100 phone calls and keep on repeating yourself 1,000 times.
Yeah.
You just want to have that, you almost want like to switch off the phone and just have that time to process the whole thing and deal with it yourself without...
And I was good. And other people like kept telling me stuff and I was like, oh, that's great. But that's actually just not how I felt.
What I want.
So, which is really interesting that like also part of me not telling people was because, you know, how I wanted to process it was, and then I had to put it into a bigger group of people. Like, I had to put it into this public space where I was just hearing lots of people say stuff.
Yeah, it's been a generational thing, which I think has been both useful because it means we are talking about medical stuff and we're talking about mental health stuff more. But I do think it's, there's a limit.
There's a limit.
Interesting, because I remember years ago when I was like 18, a friend had had like a serious thing happen. It was one of those things where people within our like social group knew about it and I didn't know about it. And they had said, they had alluded to this thing, but were also like, oh, well, I won't say anything because it's like her business. And I remember feeling I'm being left out, but then also feeling like ultimately I'm like, if something serious has happened to my friend, my priority is that like I hope that my friend is okay.
Okay.
And when one day she got really drunk and she told me, and I remember that it was kind of what I had assumed, which I didn't say to her, but I remember being like, okay, I've kind of mentally already like braced myself for like this being what's happened. There was a part of me, don't get me wrong, that felt like, oh, I feel sad this person told all these other people before they told me. It's upsetting to me that this my friend has been through this thing and that I haven't been able to support them. It was more like I felt. And so it's interesting because there's been so many times throughout my life where I do feel like maybe sad that I don't know something about a friend. But I think particularly for me when I was younger, I really didn't want to open up about certain things. So then I'll see other friends almost like badgering a friend to like tell us what's going on or tell us the thing. And I'm like, just tell us whatever you need or want us to know. And I remember when you text me about this thing, I was like grateful that you shared it with me because I could like actually understand the context of the situation. And I think I had a moment, should I have probed more? Should I have like tried to get you to... I think I definitely would have friends that would be like, oh, I was trying to open up to you and, you know, you didn't seem interested. And then I was like, I don't think that's what's happening. And so I think that's also what happens because we have different expectations or different ways of like... testing the openness. Even when you were saying before, like, oh, I've been sick and I haven't heard from that person. I think some people literally are like, oh, well, you were sick. I didn't want to overwhelm you. I didn't know how to reach out. And so it's like we all are living by different codes.
And which is interesting, Artie, because I would love to talk about that a bit more because I also, and this is the thing about people knowing stuff about you. It's like I've had situations before and I've seen it even with my family or my mum's case or whatever, where people want to know, but it's like, you know that, but how is it making you a better person? Like, are you going to show up in a better way for the friendship?
Yeah.
And that's the thing that I think that is a struggle for me. And people are like, oh, well, I didn't want to do this because of that. It's like, you are a friend or you're not. You show up or you don't show up. If you don't show up because you were unsure about the boundaries, then we weren't really good friends. Because I know, like, even in you and my mum's case, my mum, these women were just physically show up.
Show up. Someone's had this case.
It's like not, they don't have to second guess.
You just show up.
And
you
no one's ever going to be like, I've never heard this. Oh my God, so-and-so showed up for me and they showed up too much.
Yeah, it's never too much.
It's never too much. So I grew up also in an era that I don't ask people to tell me stuff that they're not ready for because they need to be ready that I will actually show up for them. But I haven't always. Like there have been friends that have gone through stuff and I haven't shown up. And the reason why I haven't shown up is because I don't have the actual skills or I can't give them the stuff that they actually want in the way they want. I would rather just not show up than struggle through.
Expectations sometimes when people, when friends expect so much from you, but you cannot do so much. It's like you can't do, you know, you cannot do what you can when you can. But no, you don't, I don't know, there is a limit. Like there's a limit how far you can go.
I have heard the people showing up too much line, to be honest, and I've actually even...
They overstep that. The boundary. Oh, this is a little bit, you know. Don't go there, sort of thing.
I think it's also when someone doesn't fully understand, like, your feeling in a situation and they're, like, maybe projecting some of their own. Like, if I was in this situation, I would feel this.
Yes.
A few years ago, my cousin passed away in her sleep and it was during lockdown. So I think everyone didn't really know how to, like, support my auntie. And I remember them having to make a note on family Facebook being like, we're so, you know, appreciative of everyone's, like, reaching out and stuff, but, like, it's a bit overwhelming, like, We need time.
Which brings me to a really good point, Auntie. How do you think that you have set boundaries? Have you ever had to set boundaries with friends?
Yes. It has, whereby, what can I say? It's like when people want to know too much or they think they know it all or they've got better solutions or they've got better idea. It's like, come on, I can deal with this or I can, no, I'm dealing with this by myself. So it's good to get opinions from friends, but at the end of the day, you make your own decision according to what you feel is right by you. Because some people, they'll go, oh, but if I was, I could have done, I could, I'm thinking, yeah, but it's you, but that's not me. We are looking at things from very different directions here. So I'm dealing with this the way I want to deal with it. Thank you so much for your 2 cents of advice. I don't need it now. You know, so it's like there's some people just think that they know it all and they've got solutions for everything. It's like, oh, just do this. I go, oh, no, no, stop. Just give me time. I'll do it my way, the way I feel comfortable with, not because of your way, because you can deal with your own thing in your own way. At the end of the day, you get exhausted with all these ideas or solutions or whatever. You go, come on. You sit down and sort of think, you know what, with all this, I don't need all this. You sit down yourself, you go through your thoughts and your whatever you want. At the end of the day, you do what you want, not because, don't follow, don't be a follower. Be your own person. Be your own person, be your own individual.
Yeah, I think about this a lot because when I was younger, I would really, you know, it was almost like a constant stream of giving each other updates on stuff that's going on. And it really was that thing of like, oh, I don't actually need your opinion on this. Like in retrospect, I'm like, I can absolutely see why that was what they thought I was trying to do. And also I realized for me that I wasn't actually giving myself enough time to really sit with my own feelings, to work out for myself what I really wanted to be doing. It was almost like so quickly with your phone, you can so quickly just be like, this just happened and blah, 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 blah. And it kind of then becomes sometimes it becomes a much bigger thing than it really needed to be. And I think, so I think for me, like having friend breakups, I don't ever have like this thing. I'm like, oh, I'd go back in a time machine and I'd like say something different because actually for me, it was a moment where I could really work out exactly, I guess like build self-trust within myself where I go, oh, I actually make decisions faster now and I don't have as big emotional reactions to things. And there's obviously been like negative impacts as well. But I think ultimately evaluating the ways in which I was showing up in relationships has been a very important part of my own personal growth. I think I'm kind of like a better friend in a lot of ways, even though in some ways I'm doing a lot less than what I used to do, which is
well, back to what
wild.
She was saying.
Okay, yeah. Quality. Yes, that's what comes to quality.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You know, I don't want to take too much more of your time, Auntie, because we've literally been here for 1 hour.
Oh, have we?
And then a little bit more, an hour and a half.
I mean, so, we're here for longer because we're chatting about your podcast boyfriend.
Yes,
we
Auntie, we want to hear what is your number one? We're going to ask you 5 questions. That's it, like a quick 5 little number one advice for maintaining a long-lasting relationship.
Trust.
Mm-hmm. What is your number one way of resolving conflict in a relationship?
Talk about it.
What's your number one advice for keeping old friends that you've had for ages into walking them into your new life or who you are when you're a bit older? What's your number one advice?
Yeah, keep the communication open.
Keeping your communication open.
Yeah. And appreciate the friendship. Tell your friends how much you appreciate them. Say it. Say, you know what, I did appreciate our friendship. They need to hear it.
Yeah. That is true, because I think that sometimes we forget it.
We forget it. Just say it. They need to hear it. Oh, you know what? I really appreciate our friendship. It means something than just assuming, you know?
Yeah.
Just say it. Know. Say it. Yeah.
Yeah. Say how say how you feel.
Say how you feel. Just tell them how special they are to you.
Yeah.
We all need to hear, because it's true. I've had a bit of a more challenging year. Some of the things I'm like whinged about, people have shown up in huge ways. And I've been reminded, especially, I have this amazing group of people.
Yeah.
Also, some old friendships. Like, I went to New York and I had seen an old friend, Gabriella, and I'm like, how did I let that friendship go? She's this amazing woman.
Yeah.
Back to what you're saying, like, and we didn't have a falling out or anything. It's just she moved to New York and I mean, we could have easily maintained it. And like having her in my space I was like, wow. How did I let this amazing woman out of my life? Like, and I said, like, we didn't have conflict or anything. Yeah. It was just...
Yeah, but because people just grow or And then when you meet, because I've a friend that I had like years ago and I've not seen for a long time. When I bumped into you, it was like we were never apart.
Yes.
The conversation just went from the last time a few years ago. It's like as if we've been in touch all this time. I'm thinking, wow, this is interesting. I haven't seen you for years and we're just going on and on and on and on. And
I've been saying lately, because I definitely, with a lot of certain friends I have had fallouts with, it's like we still live in the same city, we still know similar people, so there's almost like a tension sometimes where you're like, oh, maybe I'll see them and I wonder what it'll be like. And a thing that I've had recently is like, you can't get in the way of someone's destiny. And sometimes, like, even for me, I'm like, the end of those relationships was like so powerful for things I've learned about myself. And I can only imagine like what it might have like meant for other people. And who knows, it, for me at least, it felt like a defining moment in my life. So I'm like, oh, that's like wherever we're like heading towards, this was a part of that. I think that is the part of what you were saying as well about just accepting people for like who they are. And like sometimes you're like, oh, I accept, you know, it's like you're on this path to somewhere. And
Well, can I ask you the last question? This is definitely the last question. Have you ever had a falling out with someone and then you've become friends again? Has that ever happened to you? Or like, have the people, because that's an interesting one. Like,
It has happened, but then the relationship is not the same as it was before the falling out. You can still be friends, but it's not the same because there's still something there that... It's like a little something there that is not quite maybe resolved in a way. So you can still be friends, but you sort of maintain a distance. Yes.
I wanted to know that because that's the biggest one where I'm like, will some of the friends that I've not been friends with, will we ever get back together?
We can get back together, but it won't be the same as it was before. That's personal anyway. It doesn't, it's not the same. You can still be friends, but it won't be the same as it was before. There's still that something there, a little bit of a pull back a little bit.
It's like a scar.
Oh, thank you, Auntie. We really, really appreciate this, you coming, you know.
It's been lovely chit-chatting.
Oh, thank you so much. We want to thank Auntie Georgina for coming into the studio, giving us some words of wisdom.
I really enjoyed this.
Yeah. And like I said, she, like when I talk about friendship or the type of friend that she is, like I always say in anything that I say, like, oh my God, it's been so through thick and thin, she's still like my mum's best friend, even though my mum's gone.
And I'm there as a support person.
And I hope that, like, and I was trying to say, I said this to Juliet, I hope that if something ever happened to one of my friends, that I could show up in the way that you have. Yes, like, you're such a good example to their family. Like, to be honest, like, would have been more than reasonable for my auntie to be like, oh, yeah, well, correct. Lovely. Bye-bye. You know, live my life. I'm also friends with you guys. Like, my friend has now gone also. Like, but my aunties have always been like, nah, I'm still showing up in the friendship.
I'm friends not with you. It's the friends with the family. It's not just one person.
With the one.
People used to find it strange. Like, Stella never locked her house. She never locked her house. So whenever I felt like, oh, I'm going to drop off a meal at her house, I'll just drive and just drop off something on a kitchen bench and drive home. Because remember, your house, she never locked your house. They never locked their house.
Would love to thank you
so much.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yay. That was lovely. Thank you, boy.
Thank you.
That was lovely. Oh, that's so good.
Let's be friends. Subscribe to the Disappointing Friend podcast. Follow us at the Disappointing Friend podcast on Instagram and TikTok. DM us a voice recording with all your friendship, tribulations and triumphs, or just thoughts. Or email us at the Disappointing Friend podcast at gmail.com. We're obviously not psychiatrists or psychologists or therapists in any capacity, but we have years and years and years of experience disappointing friends and being disappointed by friends. Until next time, the disappointing friend has left the chat.
I'm a bit nervous though.
No. This is not meant to be very nervous. Like, it's not. I'm going to do a little video.
It's just like, is it just like a chat?
It's just like a chat.
We're just continuing what we've been doing.
Oh, okay. Oh, I hope you...